Let's lift our hands and thank the Lord for the privilege, the life. We give you all the praise, O God. Lift your hands and bless him. Jesus, we honor you for tonight. We thank you for your grace. Thank you for your ability to change us. Everywhere, inside and outside, I'd like us to lift our hands and just bless him. Lord, I know you brought me tonight to change me. Pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Every time in your presence is worth the while. Because one word from you, one understanding of a kingdom truth can change our lives forever. Lord, we give you praise. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let's quickly pray and say, Father, give me understanding tonight. The Bible says, the entrance of thy word giveth light, and even understanding to the simple. Give me understanding, O God. Pray, please. Give me understanding. Give me understanding. Please make sure you're praying. God bless you. Please be seated. Turn to your left and right. Just greet someone. Amen. I sincerely want to appreciate everyone for coming inside and outside. It's always exciting every Friday and every time we get to meet. Because it is always an opportunity for us to not only experience the presence of God, but to gain understanding. Hallelujah. Wenga shared something earlier on, very powerful. He said, those who fly, fly based on instructions. Hallelujah. And the word of God has come to give us the instructions, give us enlightenment. In the name of Jesus Christ. I decided to again shift our series on the gospel so that we can learn something very powerful tonight in line with the season. This is a Valentine period, and I thought that it was very wise to share some truth with us along this line, not necessarily love relationships, but truths that will help us. You will be mightily changed tonight. Believe me, God will do something to your mind. It's very, very important. We have come as individuals, as a ministry, to respect the power of ideologies. That a man's understanding and conditioning can open him up to a new dimension of reality or keep him as a victim. Hallelujah. So the word of God is going to challenge us very seriously. Tonight, many of us will find answers to many questions in our lives. You will know why your life has refused to move forward for many of us. And for many of us, we will gain understanding as to what suddenly happened in your life that has brought you so much speed and acceleration. Hallelujah. The greatest evidence, please listen to me. The greatest evidence of, please come, let me use somebody, come from this. The greatest evidence of the power of God, the influence of the Word of God, and the presence of the Holy Spirit upon the life of a person is not just healing. Please listen. It's not just miracle in terms of supernatural administration of the power of God. Did you know that this guy can be healed and still go to hell? Do we agree? Yes. He can be healed and he will still land in hell. He can be healed and still be a failure in life. Did you know that he can even be healed and become sick again of the very same sickness? He was genuinely healed, but then something about his life made him become a victim of what he was just delivered from. Are we together? Do you know that this guy can also be saved, accept the Lordship of Jesus Christ over his life? He can be saved, genuinely saved, go to heaven, but live a life of failure and struggle and defeat here on earth. Are we together? That he came and responded to an altar call is no guarantee. It is the platform. Listen, please, listen. Because many of us have been conditioned to think that the moment you answer an altar call, all of a sudden your life changes by itself. It's not true. That begins to give you access. Access. The Bible calls it seeing the kingdom. So you have been put in a position where, potentially speaking, you can now begin to step into the reality of the kingdom. But the experience of the kingdom is based on light, is based on illumination. So this brother can be saved, genuinely saved. His name is in the book of life, but his name is not in the book of the successful ones. His name is in the book of life, but here on earth, his name is in the book of struggling people who will keep moving in utter confusion, waiting for the day Jesus Christ will come to look like a consolation. The hallmark of the activity of the Word of God in this brother's life is called transformation. Transformation. What is transformation? A change of state brought about by a change of conditioning, a change of understanding. Please listen. Transformation is the most powerful evidence of the activity of the Word of God and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in a man. That this brother, for instance, let's assume he used to be a smoker, maybe a fornicator, living in sin, doing all kinds of things. All of a sudden, he comes under an atmosphere that can grant him access to the Word of God. And by Word of God, I mean the understanding of the principles and the mysteries of the kingdom. Every time you hear me say Word of God, the Word of God in itself, unexplained and not understood, cannot do you any good. Please, don't confuse yourself that because you have proximity with the scripture, it means transformation. Not at all. You can interact with the Word of God as much as you know. The same way someone can be holding the car keys to anything and not be able to operate it. The Word of God only becomes profitable when it is believed, understood, and applied. Believed, understood. You can believe a lie. You believed, but what you believed is not correct. You can have an inaccurate understanding of a truth. So your belief is not wrong. It's the information you believe that is wrong. Are we together now? Transformation. That all of a sudden this brother's value system changes. The things that used to be priority to him, based on a new idea that has been given to him, he no longer has an ability. His appetite, his value system, his perception, his response to life, his interpretation of life has been altered to be similar to that which is of Christ. We call that state in a man's life transformation. If you are a man of God, that's going to be the hallmark of the quality of your ministry. You will be very deceived if you think your ministry is moving just because you are raising wheelchairs. That's very important. You will be very deceived if you think just because people are getting saved. That's very important. Don't get me wrong. But I am telling you, you really are a blessing to people when you transform them.
Anybody who sits under your anointing and you do not challenge their perceptions and their ideologies, it doesn't matter what dimensions of mysteries you are teaching, you are wasting their time. Say amen. Something intentional should be happening to you every week. It's called transformation. Not just enlightenment, not just illumination, not just awareness. I'm sorry to say this, but many preachers are more concerned about giving their members awareness of a reality than focusing on getting them to understand the operation of it. I can come and begin to give you all kinds of Greek and Hebrew words, and there's a place for that. I can come and leave you confused, and at the end of it, you'll be like, my goodness, how did Apostle get this revelation? And then we rise up on the strength of awareness without sufficient understanding to defend it. So there are many things we claim to know in the body of Christ, but our lives do not show we really understand it. The Bible says they are alive to those who find them and health to their flesh. I don't want to make bold claims about a reality in the spirit that I do not understand the dynamics. We talk so much about prosperity, but it's obvious we know very little about it. We talk so much about the anointing, but it's obvious we are only aware. We talk so much about leadership, church growth, you know, all of these facets. Please, I want you to have a passion for transformation. Transformation is not a mystery. Transformation is the product of new spiritual ideas that are believed, received. Those ideas come, and first and foremost, there is a conflict. The old man is fighting something new. The ideas you have had about God, about life, about ministry, about the anointing, about the operations, right? Those ideas are facing something new and superior. They will not bow by default. It takes your willingness to allow. This is where the power of the Holy Spirit comes in. That you can come in and become an influence in your transformation. So that your thinking is altered, your conditioning is altered, your programming is altered. All of a sudden you find out that you now begin to have new appetites. There is a level of order and decorum in your life. And then your compliance with the truth of the word begins to produce the results that God said would happen. You will be very frustrated when your life is full of awareness without evidence. Almost every truth they want to teach, you have heard it before. But the frustration is that everything you are aware of implicates you, because people expect fruit from it. When Jesus looked at the fig tree and saw that it had leaves, the leaves were so marketable. You see, your awareness will draw people to you, but they don't want to live on awareness. They rate your awareness as being thorough understanding. So they come because you give them a picture of something you claim to know, only for them to be disappointed that even you yourself, you don't even understand what you are saying. So many of us pastors are jumping with truths and realities in the spirit that are potentially supposed to deliver certain level of results. But because we are so concerned about dispensing things, because we think our value as men of God is tied to new things. Your value as a man of God is not tied to the new revelations you bring. Your value as a man of God is tied to how much of the word you understand that you have been able to demonstrate is reality, both in your life and the life of others. That track record of consistency in results. Results that are intentional and can be reproduced. Is God blessing us already? So I want your growth to be very definite. This brother has come tonight expecting certain things to happen. Some of us do not even know what should happen in an atmosphere like this. You know you came to church. You know that the worship team is supposed to sing. You're supposed to participate. You're supposed to pray. You're hoping that Apostle will come up and teach. But you are not even, you don't even know what should happen to you. This is what I'm telling you. Every time you come for Koinonia or any ministry at all, expect transformation. Listen, let me tell you this, and I say it without any sense of apology. If you stay under a ministry and under an anointing for a long time, and you cannot trace transformation, get out of that place. Get out fast. Don't fight them. Don't insult anybody. But please, off you go. Value your life because you are giving your time. And your life is measured in time. I cannot invest 5 years of my life in a platform, a ministry, or a place and not have a noticeable transformation. I'm still confused 5 years later as I was before I came. There's nothing that has changed about my values. It becomes a mockery to you. It becomes a mockery to the God that you represent. Are we together now? At least within 5 years, if I don't know the solution, I should be able to identify what I am doing wrong. That for me, the fact that I am now aware that I'm not getting it right, is already a revelation for me. Are we together now? I may not know the way out, but the fact that I have been brought by light to a point where I know that something must be wrong, that is enough awareness to begin to stimulate transformation. Please, don't ever expect your growth and excelling in life to be a mistake. There's no such thing as that. Hallelujah. The Lord has declared unto us that this is our year of multiplied grace and influence. It's not a cliche. It's not a pressure that we have to bring words. If God doesn't say anything, we carry over the word from the last year and continue with it. By God's grace, I'm not one of those people who are under pressure to make sure that December 31st, you must bring a word. But this word came from the Lord. And only those who know how to run with it. I pray that what we'll be hearing tonight will really change us. Hallelujah. See, before we begin to teach, I want to show you how to make the word change you. Listen, how to allow the word to change you. Just listen. Look at me, please. You will write, but I want you to look at me. Listen. The dynamics of transformation through the word is this. The Holy Spirit, listen, the same Holy Spirit who is at work influencing your life and your mind is the same Holy Spirit who is guiding the man of God as he's teaching. So there's not supposed to be confusion. That's why sometimes you think the man of God is talking to only you, because he's been under the Bible says holy men spake as they were moved. Right? Their faculties came under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And their communications were consistent with the will of God. And when that word comes to a recipient like this, that word begins to hover around your destiny. Listen, before the arrival of that word, your heart, your mind was not empty. There was an information there. Are we together? There was an ideology there. That ideology is what is responsible for the quality of your present life. Now the word of God comes like a man wanting to ask a woman out. But imagine that that woman has somebody else. Are we together? But that person is destructive. Now the word of God comes, giving the figure of a man coming to say, would you respond to a more superior proposal? You have been mismanaged by your association with this man called the old man, the Bible calls him, right? So the word of God comes. It's a proposal. It doesn't force it on you. You are hearing new ideas. Now, between the old ideology and the new one, you are the ultimate person who can make the word of God of none effect. Are we together? Or you are the one who can respond? Do you know what it means to tremble at the word of God? It's not just to be afraid, but that every time the word of God comes, the moment the ideas are superior and excellent and your spirit is at peace with it, you replace it immediately. You permit it to be replaced. Oh, this is how I used to see life. My goodness, I never saw it this way. Now something new has come. So how do you respond? My life will never move this direction again. And you make up your mind that from that time henceforth. Are we together now? If you need to jot down certain resolutions. Remember, you are not just doing it carnally. Because you are responding to the word. You are not just sitting and say, I will do this, I will do this. No, there is an ability that is backing and supporting your decision. So we can render the word of God of non-effect in our lives. By refusing to allow it change us. The word of God hits you and you look at the word that is coming and go back and look at your old idea. And because sometimes the old idea keeps us in a comfort zone, Are we together? The new word you are hearing will challenge you. Challenge your ministry. Challenge your paradigm. Kill every excuse. You say, Kai, let me just act as if I never knew it, so that I will remain there. Many people hate information because they know information will kill excuses. So they don't want to go for knowledge because they do not want to take action. Pray in 1 minute and say, Lord, I'm desperate for transformation. Pray. I pray this for my life. Pray. I pray this, oh God, for my children. I pray this for the many who depend on your hand upon my life. I pray this for the nations and the spheres of influence that you'll be committing to my hands. Please pray from the depth of your heart. There is a level of clarity and certainty that a man can walk in. This is like a spiritual workshop. Please pray. Pray from the depth of your heart. Lord, I'm not just jumping at the word. I tremble at the word. I have understood its power to change me. I've been a victim of poor ideology. It's rendered God of non-effect in my life. It's rendered my destiny helpless. And Lord, I'm on a project, an intentional project, to conforming to the image of Christ.
Oh, 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 yeah. Oh, 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 yeah.
You are praying, Lord, I must change. My generation is depending on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Listen to me. There is no man who is born with a transformed mind by default. It's not a gift. Never has it been a gift that a man is born with an excellent mindset. Something we do not know is responsible for our life. Our parents and our loved ones, though well-meaning, have been responsible for some of the tragedies in our lives. They fed us with informations that are not consistent with the paradigm of the kingdom. We were angry with them. We blamed them. But now we are reproducing their mindset. You will never receive another result by default. You have to open up your mind and say, no, I suffered this. It must end in my lineage. I suffered this. I've gone through it. My children cannot go through this. Lift your voice and cry in 1 minute. Say, Lord, I tremble at your word. I tremble at your word. I understand its power to change me. Those outside, make sure you participate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Regardless of your geographical location and its limitation, regardless of the mindset that Africa and Nigeria has been known with, the difference between the qualities of a man's life, the difference between the access point in a man's life for the Holy Ghost to use him, is his depth of permission to be transformed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sebra takara dozo dobrenike la bahariata. Skaparatos katebredeke sheberede baladaba.
Rekete proskoto prende galabakaria da baska pratikades. Paragos kabanda praska da da bosha teria da ba. Mata kraska da barata basha da braga da bala da bakoso da brandasia. Imbrandos karia da baska prateska da baria da bakoso da brandosia.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I like you to pray. See, the Bible says that we receive with meekness. There is an attribute. Listen, we are still praying. Just one more prayer. I like you to say, Lord, I admit that there is something I do not know that is responsible for where I am. Show me this night. I admit it. I'm not arguing with you. I know I've seen you move in an area of my life. But Lord, there is something I do not know. There is something I have refused to believe. There is a wrong information I have believed that is responsible for my conditioning. Pray, pray, pray. Tonight, Lord, I kill the excuses. I admit that there is something I do not know. Lord, I admit there is something I have not seen. I admit there is an information I have not received. We're standing face to face with our destiny tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just feel we should pray just one more prayer point. You're going to say, Lord, I don't have loyalty to any mindset that has not helped me so far. No matter how long I've held it, if it's wrong, it must leave me tonight. Lift your voice and pray. I have no loyalty to a mindset and an understanding that is inconsistent with the word of God. Some of us have held on to ideologies for years. It was the foundation of our building. And so, in loyalty to it, we do not want to drop it. Whereas that may be the very thing that is responsible for the limitation of the word of God in our lives. Hallelujah. Please sit down. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, you can handle the keys of destiny and paralyze. I don't care what kind of ancestral whatever. When you find the key, every door responds to a key. Not complaining. Every door responds to a key. Believe me when I tell you this. Every door responds to a key. The day you find it and know how to use it, that's the day your Sabbath has come. That's the day your Sabbath has come. The day your Sabbath has come.
Spirit of the living God, we depend on you. You are the only one who can open up the mysteries of the kingdom unto us. We want to live like gods upon the earth. We want to take our place in life and destiny. We want to change the things that we have seen around our lives and environment. The transformation in our families, our lives are dependent upon the things that you teach us. So Lord, we tremble at your word. We tremble at your word. We are recipients of your word tonight. We are believers. Our hearts are malleable. We have no loyalty to wrong ideologies. We are willing to change. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. God bless you. That was such a powerful preamble to open up our hearts. We must be prepared to receive the word. Praise the Lord. Now, tonight I'll be teaching in three sessions. The Holy Spirit inspired me to break tonight's teaching. In three sessions, please make sure you are writing, or at least, even if it's to type it on your phone, or you can get the message. So there are three sessions. The first session I'm going to be teaching us on people. I think it's important we need to understand who people are. I will teach us certain truths about people. Listen, if you do not understand people, you will be humiliated in your life and destiny. The great man Bishop Oyedepo was asked, and they asked him the greatest asset in his life, and he said people. And they said the greatest problem in his life, and he said people. If you do not understand people, you will never be able to fulfill your assignment. If you do not understand people, are we together now? Many leaders have failed because they do not understand people. Many pastors, fathers, mothers, and we the young people, our inability to understand people has destroyed our lives in a very great way. So I'll be teaching us on that. Very powerful revelation. Then I'm going to be teaching us the second session on maintaining relationships. It's a powerful revelation. I'll be sharing with us a few keys that I have gleaned from the lives of absolutely phenomenal people and some of the truths that the Lord has opened my eyes to. And this will include love relationships and relationships generally. And then number three, the Lord inspired me to answer certain questions. You know, God just put in my heart many questions that many people will be having. And I call that session, What Could Be Wrong? The third session, What Could Be Wrong? So I put a number of points. What could be wrong if nobody is asking you out? Are we together? What could be wrong if every relationship you lay your hands on does not work? What could be wrong if your marriage is on its way to being shattered? So I know that the Lord will bless us tonight in Jesus' name. Let's start off. Media, I'll need you to help us on this. I want to share with you seven great scriptures that guide friendships and relationships, because the foundation of understanding people, listen please, the foundation of friendships in the kingdom, the foundation of relationships in the kingdom must be tied to an understanding that is revealed to us from God's word. Not just understanding that westernization has brought, not just understanding that our cultures have given to us. And there are seven great scriptures I found in my own pursuit to understand people, understand friendships and relationships that I think will bless us. I won't dwell so much there because we have a lot and I really need us to finish this and do so in good time. So I'll give you the scripture. Media, when I give you the scripture, I will give you the next one so that you help us. And then I'll just explain the scripture. Every one of these scriptures give us guidelines.
scattered within them are principles that help us to excel in friendships, relationships, and to understand people. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we'll start off with Proverbs. We'll spend some time in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. Proverbs 27, verse 17. While you're projecting that, our next scripture will be Proverbs 17, verse 17. So media, please help us. Proverbs 27, verse 17. And Proverbs 17, verse 17. Let's look at what it says. Everyone, please read. Proverbs 27, verse 17. One, two, read. The idea there is a comparison. As iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. It gives you a God's idea on the kind of friendships you should be involved in. Are we together now? It never says iron sharpeneth rubber. Is God speaking to us? Oh, you are in for a shock tonight. It never said iron sharpeneth wood. That means true friendship must be based on the same material, spiritual material, psychological material. Are we together now? It says, as iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Meaning any kind of friendship. I'm not just talking of love, business friendship, social friendship, ministerial friendship. That does not culminate in a mutual sharpening is a useless friendship as far as the kingdom is concerned. This already is a big deliverance for many of us who are under so much pressure to be friends to and with everyone. There are many kinds of friendships that don't build us. It's taken from us, it's stolen from us, it's destroyed our lives. You've been friends with someone for 2 years. You cannot tell one spiritual advantage of his or her presence in your life. Are we together? The person did not help you know God. The person didn't help you discover purpose. The person didn't even help you understand life. That's a useless friend. Is God speaking to us tonight? We grew up together. So what? When I came to Zaria, he was the first person I met. So what? He said, as iron sharpeneth iron. Let me stop there. Next verse, please. 17:17 of Proverbs. Then the next one will be Proverbs 18 verse 24. I'll give you one ahead. I just want to show us seven scriptures that have been the foundations of my understanding friendships and relationships. This is a very interesting one. Let's read it together. One, two, read. A friend loveth that how many times? How many of your friends have done that? The ones you call friends, destiny friends, the ones you claim you can die for. The Bible says a friend, a true friend. Can we have Amplified, please? All through, let's see how we can work with Amplified all through, if that is possible. It says a friend loveth at all times. In other words, a true friend. Any man you call your friend should be someone whose commitment to you is not dependent on circumstances. I'm not talking of love relationships yet, although that applies to it. A friend loves at all times and is born as is a brother for adversity. In other words, friends, part of the benefits of friends is to be sources of encouragement and lifting. It's a terrible thing when a man is in the downside of his life and you look around, there is nowhere to draw strength. There are so many people in our lives today who are not friends. We have entertained them. We are wasting our time believing that they are friends. Let something bad happen to you, you will never see any one of them. Yet some of us will not come to church because of those people. Yet some of us are now losing the good friends because we want to maintain those people. As you are watching this, I'd like you to begin to look at all the people in your spheres of influence who you call friends indeed, whether or not they meet this criteria. The Bible says a brother is made for adversity. Is there someone in your life today who can see you in the prison and hear that Godia was arrested and not just say, I don't know, me too, we're all workers, it's just the church that brought us together? Let me tell you something, a true friend, the Bible says, is made even for adversity. Where were Job's business partners? Where were all his extended relatives? None of them came around. Are we together now? See, this revelation will help you to know where to channel your energy and effort as far as building relationships are concerned. Because many of us feel that there are certain people you are so committed to, and you will allow anything go bad to maintain relationships with them that is leading nowhere. They are not friends. They may not be enemies, but they are surely not friends from the definition of Bible. Are we together? Next scripture. 18 verse 24, Proverbs. Then the next one will be Proverbs 27 verse 6. These are seven scriptures, or let's say eight, that have really, really changed my life. Proverbs 27 verse, Proverbs 18 verse 24. Look at this. Hello, celebrities, social people, those who rejoice around. Everybody likes me. I just have one kind of spirit. Listen to what the Bible is saying. Are you ready? One, two, read. Read it. I mean, it's not me. It's not my book. It's in the Bible. One, two, read. The man of many friends, a friend of all the world, will prove himself a bad friend. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Listen, let me explain what that means for you. If your life is not uncommon to drive certain kinds of people, that means you don't have values and principles. Anybody sees the template of their life in you. When a smoker sees you, he sees something, he sees a connection between him and you. Are we together? When somebody who has no value for the things of, you are like, you know how a universal charger, they call that, you can put any kind of phone, any kind of battery. Some of us are like that. And we think because everybody is comfortable around us, it's a sign that we are good friends. Hear what the Bible says. You will eventually prove yourself to be a bad friend. This is a friend that has no standards. This is a personality that has no values. Meaning, if you come to church, you behave like a Christian. If you go to a place and they serve gouda, say, drop my own. I mean, I'm a social, I'm okay, I'm all right. You go to where people are not serious Christians, you say, what's there? I mean, don't feel bad about it. It's all right, let's dance to it. You seem like you are a friend of everybody. The Bible says it's a sign that something is wrong with your life because there are no standards. Something in your life must attract some people and drive other people. Now, I don't mean to insult people, and don't feel bad. Life is in levels. But there is a soap that I hear they bath with and wash with. Listen. Now, don't feel bad. God is taking everybody in levels. So don't feel offended if that's what you use. But I'm just trying to communicate something. You bath with, wash your clothes, try to clean out the stains, and then in your body too. I respect those who produce that soap. If you are working with them, please accept my kind apologies. But I'm not a doctor, but I can tell you this. That soap will not give you the best in terms of quality. Are we together? Because you and your clothes are not the same. Are we together now? Yeah. Some of us are like that. See, let me teach you something this night. Learn this. If you are afraid of being controversial, forget about being a leader. It takes the courage of being controversial to become exceptional in life. The reason why many of us find ourselves in useless friendships that don't make sense, is because you want to agree with everybody. You don't have the courage to look at people and say, no. I love you, but this understanding is not consistent with my ideologies. So a roommate comes into your room. She loves God. You love her too. But she says, let me gist you what happened in Jaji this weekend. Hey, just sit down. And you say, no problem. And while you are gisting, someone calls you and say, you know that it's time for prayer band meeting. And you say, I'm coming. You see? So to you, you don't see the difference. You can enter and stretch for 2 hours shouting till you lose your voice. And just call somebody and say, where are you now? He says, I'm in PZ. What's the name of that club? Come and tell me, I don't know it. TJ Palace. No, now, mate or something. Yes, it's okay. I know you used to go there. No, for evangelism, not for... I know you go there for evangelism. Are we together? Men with no standards. Men who are afraid of being controversial. These are the kinds of carelessness that stop certain people from being mightily used by God. People cannot gist about you and say, no. When it comes to this one, just forget. This person's standard is high and clear. Many of us are ashamed of defining our standards because we suspect it will rob us of certain people. When you set that standard, that lady you like will have to shift. So you patch it so that I can incorporate them. Look, let me tell you. The Bible says, a man who tries to be... Have you not heard that love with the Father is enmity with the world? You cannot gain everything. You must choose one. So that all-inclusive kind of friendship. Now, please get my idea of friendship. It doesn't mean you frown at others and laugh at others. I mean, a friend is one who you allow to influence your life. A friend is one who you are comfortable with his paradigm and his ideologies. It doesn't mean that because you don't agree with someone, you hate the person or you don't interact with the person. No, you are going to work. If you are a worker here, for instance, you know that there are people in your office whose values are not consistent with yours, even if they are Christians. You must have standards. 27 verse 6, please, Proverbs. Then the next verse will be John 15 verse 13. Are you getting blessed already? Proverbs 27 verse 6, and then John 15 verse 13. Now, listen to what the Bible says. Let's read. 1, 2, read. Inside and outside. 1, 2, read. Let me explain to you what that means. The word wounds there means the discomfort from the correction of a friend. Are you getting what I'm saying? The word wound there doesn't just mean after you fight with your friend. It means faithful. When you meet a true friend, one who loves you enough and he can tell you, no. Nas, I love you, but the way you are going about this, me and you know that this is not consistent with the word. It will sting your ego. The Bible calls them wound, but it says faithful are the wounds, the pains that you sustain. A friend is even ready to risk his friendship to make sure you excel in life. That's a true friend. In other words, if after telling him the truth, I lose out on the relationship, no problem. But at least, I'm not talking about truth that is cynical. I'm not talking about you coming to blast somebody and make him feel bad and say, I'm like that. I say everything raw. Raw does not mean stupid. You have common sense to take it easy and say, no. Benga, you love the Lord, but Kai, I saw A and B and C. Do you think it's all right if you do something about it? It may sting his ego. Are we together now? But he says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Notice what he called the kisses of an enemy. You know what? These are very powerful linguistic expressions. You are entering the hole. You say, apostle of the Most High. You are the only one. I mean, look at what you are happening. Whereas I'm entering a ditch and you are there watching. Then the friend will kiss you and make you feel happy and go out and say, I can tell you this guy is about to die. But then you immediately step in the middle of the conversation. Ah, Sean, sir, God is lifting you. The Bible calls that the kisses. Some of you, your cheeks is almost red with the kisses of enemies. You are about to die. Nobody is telling you are doing something wrong. You are in a relationship with 5 men. And somebody comes and says, man, this girl, you have sense. How are you doing it? It's called the kisses of an enemy. HIV is at the corner. Demons and spirits. All kinds of instruments of ancestry at the corner. It's called the kisses. It was with a kiss Judas used to let people know, the person I kiss, you would think it's an instrument of love. Now, in Jewish days, they didn't have a problem, men kissing men. It was not gay. Are we together? It was a culture, like they still do in Britain, you know, kiss hands and all of that. So, the kisses of an enemy, he said they are lavish, generous. Your prayer life has died, but he looks at you. He's praying you are sleeping. And he says, we are rising. That's the kisses of a friend. You are not going anywhere. But he's saying, we are rising. Listen, my father taught me something. He said, it's better to live with a wise enemy than a foolish friend. When you live with a wise enemy, you will have to be wiser to live with the person. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. There are people I've challenged and corrected. There are pastors that have had the privilege of closeness with them. And I have told them, you are a great man of God, but I think you need to adjust here and here and here. And they never come near me again. I love them. I pray for them. There are pastors who I love sincerely, but they will never come upon Koinonia pulpit. I love you too much to let them preach. Their vulnerability and their lack of standard is too bad. There are some of you, any man of God you see who comes to town, just because he gave prophecy or he gave a revelation, you say, please, I think that you... Is that how much you love your people? The kisses of an enemy. You finish a ministration and someone comes to kneel and say, Abiodu, somebody sent me a very interesting text. You know what the person said? He said he wanted to sow a seed into Koinonia. And he said, man of God, you are the only one who is raising disciples in Nigeria. He said, listen. He said, other men of God are, what did he even say? Other men of God are just raising money. That's the kiss of an enemy. How could such a man, with the mighty work God is doing, I mean, men and women who have pledged their life inconveniencing themselves to see the kingdom advance. Some of you, as ridiculous and sarcastic as that statement is, you like it. You will embrace it and live in that deception. How could you be so deceived like that? It's called the kisses of an enemy. You preached, misquoted scriptures, said a lot of things, did a lot of things, insulted people in the process, allowed your carnality to override the stage. And at the end of it, your friend looks and says, my brother, what happened in today's meeting? It's called the kisses of an enemy. Please listen to what I'm saying. You must begin to respect people in your life who love you so much, even with tears in their eyes, they can tell you the truth. They will guide you into the path of truth. Now, I'm one person who by nature, surprisingly, did you know that all this shout you see ends on stage here? It's because of the apostolic anointing. As a person, I am incredibly soft. You will be amazed. Some people think I'm not emotional. I am. Are we together now? Go ahead. Look at you are laughing. You can't believe it. You better believe it. Those who are close to me know. But I can laugh with you one moment, and while we're in the middle of a celebration, you violate a kingdom principle, and I look at you and I see how many other people will be misled from that paradigm. You are going to receive it right there. Are we together? That change is important. So if you love your destiny, you will love me. Some of us hate anybody that can correct you. Now, I don't mean in anger. But somebody that has the courage to say, my dear, listen, I think you need to work on this.
you were calling and talking with someone, you just told a lie. You lied that you're in Kaduna. If you don't like him, say you don't like him. Why say, officer, I'm in Kaduna, and then you laugh and say, guy, you are smart. You are not smart. It's called the kisses of an enemy. And listen. A friend who partners with you to do evil will do evil against you. Pick the phone and lie for me. The day it collides with our own personal interest, you will be shocked. Next, we have a lot to do. I mean, this is an appetizer. We're about to lift up. John 15, verse 13. Then you will go to Luke 6, 31. That'll be the next scripture. I said 7, but I'll give you 8 technically. John 15, verse 13. Please write it and look up, inside and outside. Those outside, are we together? Say amen. God bless you. Okay, let's read. 1, 2, read. The Bible says the apex of friendship is sacrifice. I'm giving you the interpretation of all this English. The apex of true friendship is sacrifice. How much you are willing to inconvenience yourself, if need be, to see the other party excel. Greater love had no man than this. Right? It says that a man laid down. Sorry, it's from my mind. That's why I'm not consistent with this. But that's what King James says, what I'm quoting. Greater love had no man than this. He said that a man laid down his life for his friend. Listen, anybody you claim to be a friend who cannot inconvenience himself or herself, no matter how little, for your welfare, is a bad friend. In fact, it's an enemy. You love yourself. You are singing Koinonia songs. And all of a sudden, your mother sent, please call me. And you say, please, can you help me with your phone? And say, please, I'm tired of this kind of thing. I suffer and I work, I get recharge card. They are prophesying on everybody in Koinonia. Receive for yourself. That's a bad friend. You were rejoicing together, but your mother sends an emergency call, and the person cannot allow you to take advantage of 50 naira. Listen. Be very careful. Greater love had no man than this. You are coming down from a bike and you found out that you misplaced your wallet, and your friend too came down from their bike and is going. He said, I'm going. He said, sorry, it looks like there's no money. No deal. Just finish your thing there. That's a bad friend. You may laugh about it, but the friend is already giving you signs. I am so addicted to my interest. If it means killing you, I will. That's the message. This even is a deliverance for love relationships. There are people who claim they are in love. Now is Valentine. There are brothers who will give flimsy and stupid excuses on Sunday. You know why? Because they are not willing. They don't want anything to touch them at all. There are certain brothers, you can buy me a shoe, but you cannot buy a lady you claim you love so much you want to buy, spend the rest of your life. You are a liar. You are a hypocrite. You are not doing it because of honor. Greater love had no man than this. Look at your circle of friends. Look at what has left you to maintain that relationship, and you will know if you are a good friend. Look at what has left them to maintain your relationship, and you will know. Sister, if you look at the life of this guy you are shouting around, is your laptop is his picture everywhere, right? And you cannot see traces of genuine sacrifice. Not sacrifice that the validity period is on the altar. Sacrifice that is genuine. See, let me tell you, one of the indices, we're going to talk on that, to know a very good guy is see how he responds to people who are not necessary in his life. Are we together? Look at the way the guy responds to people who he does not need in his life. It tells you the true way. Everybody looks nice if you can see what you will get from somebody. The way he responds to a cleaner who cannot add anything to his life. The way he responds to a restaurant waiter who cannot add anything.
So when he's looking at you and kneeling down and say, this way, my dear, think well. See how he just insulted the waiter and said, sorry, my temper, I love you, come and sit down. What he's telling you is, for as long as I need you, you will get this response. But the day I do not need you, that's what you are going to get. The default behavioral pattern of people is revealed when they are talking and interacting with people who do not add to their lives. Everybody can fake it when you are looking for attention or a gift. But the way you respond to people who mean little to you, is God blessing us? 6 verse 31, please. Luke 6, 31. Then give us Proverbs 13:20. Media, this is for you, please. After this now, give us Proverbs 13:20 and 1 Corinthians 15:33. I joined two of them together because they are the same thing. That's supposed to be the last set of scripture, but they are the same thing really in different ways. Proverbs 13:20 and 1 Corinthians 15:33. Let's look at Luke 6:31. Everyone please read. 1, 2, read. Oh, come on. Let's read like able-bodied people. 1, 2, read. Listen, this is another idea on kingdom friendship and relationships that God is saying. He's saying the same way you want people to treat you. Please listen. He says, do to them likewise. Sister, all the guys you are parading around and just playing around with, and you are happy the way they are clashing and fighting themselves. The Bible says the same way you want people to treat you is the way you treat other people. I have learned as a person never to do to people what I know I will frown out if it were done to me. Now, it's not easy. It's easier saying it than doing it, because sometimes many things are unconscious. But you must have a determination. Never delight yourself doing things to people that you will frown out if it were done to you. We see the way some of our mothers treat the house helps in the house. Yet, that house help is somebody else's daughter. Are we together now? Yeah. We see the way some of us treat other people. You see the way we pastors treat people. Right? And then we do not want the same thing happening. The Bible says, as ye would that men do to you. I know what I want men to do. I want people to honor me and honor what I represent. I want people to trust me. I want people to find a friend in me. I want people to pay attention to the truths that I bring, because I believe that they are communications of the Spirit. And I want people to believe in me and believe in the ministry. And because I want that, I will never take my mouth and be running another man's ministry. Are we together now? Yes. I'll not open my mouth and be calling pastors fake or do, no. I leave every judgment to God. I will challenge ideas, challenge ideologies that are not consistent with the word of God. But I will do to men as I would want them to do to me. I don't want any man coming and trivializing the grace of God upon my life. So I make it a point of duty to honor everyone. I don't enter a meeting and see men of God seated. And now here comes Apostle Joshua Selman. And I rubbish them and make it look like everything. Oh, Nas, Benga, Abiodun, Shahom, and Nas. All these things you are saying. You are just teaching nonsense. Now sit down. No, I don't want that done to me. And so I will not do that to anyone. It's amazing how people hate the things they do to others. They will not be able to survive 1/10 of the things they engineer to happen to others. For instance, you are in a relationship with a brother, and maybe you were supposed to have an appointment and he could not make it. And let's say he was careless, he didn't let you know, he wasted your time. Hear what some of those bad friends say. See, show this guy. I've been telling you, show this guy. Whereas that same lady will be in a relationship and something little will happen and she will come back boiling. Listen, don't you ever do or advise people to do things that you know you will not want for yourself or for your loved ones. I want my children treated well, and I treat everybody's child properly.
You never see me stand and say, oh, you are this, your clothes are this, you are smelling, you've not taken your bath. No. I don't want anybody doing that, because everybody, we are all products of our environments. I don't know what people have gone through. We are all seated here, as our faces are different, so are our challenges. And I always want to make sure that when people see me, they have this idea that this is somebody who genuinely loves you and is committed to your growth. Next verse, Proverbs 13 verse 20. A big key. Write it and please look up. One to read. He that walketh with the wise shall be wise. It says what? But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. He that walks with the wise, the Bible says, shall be wise. Why? Because friendship is a platform for mutual influence. You imbibe people's ideologies. So it says, if you find yourself walking with wise people, it says you will also be wise. But when you escort people who are foolish, they don't know where they are going. You look at a lot of groups, and I need to tell us this, because this includes physical friends, social media groups. Are we together? Any organization of people who are going nowhere, you should have no business with. Some people just come and meet you and say, let's start a club. The name of this club is those who, all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. Let's create a club. We rest on Saturday. We are just happy. Enjoy our lives. What is the work you are doing that justifies that rest? You don't know. They say, oh, yeah, register. You now register, collect form, collect your ID card. You are in all kinds of useless groups that are not adding anything to your life. I'm a member. XYZ Club. What do you do on Saturday? We rest. How old are you? 21. You are joking. You are really joking. Are we together now? There are all kinds of groups, associations, and body of people you should have no business following. The Bible says, he that walks with the wise. You have a friend that maybe you are roommates or workmates or whatever it is. You are together. In the night while you are sleeping, he can tap you and say, my brother, I've noticed 2-3 days you've not prayed. I heard you saying a lot of things about issues in your life. Why don't you pray? And say, I've been feeling weak. He said, don't worry, it happens. Let's pray. That's a wise friend. Somebody who you don't want to come for koinonia, I just say, I'm tired, I've been waiting, nothing is happening. I say, today may be your day. That's a wise friend. Are we together? Someone who sees you hug a lady and says, you've been hugging ladies, but guy, today's hug is serious. Are you ready for a relationship or is lost? Which of them? So that we'll know how to help you. Say, me too, I don't know. So yeah, let's go and pray. That's a wise friend. Are we together? Not one who allows you until it backfires on you. That's a wise friend. People come around your house and you don't have money. You run and go and borrow money. You borrow 10,000 naira. Buy them juice, shortcake, and say everything. Say, look, this place, we are rich in this place. A wise friend calls you and says, but is he wise to borrow money and you are just spending on consumption? Don't you think he will just do what you have? If what you, I mean, tomorrow you can rise. That's a wise friend. You borrow 150,000 to buy a phone and your friend says, no, return the money. Be grateful with what you have. God will help you. That's a wise friend. Are we together now? You are loving a guy who is going nowhere. The friend calls you and talks sense to you and say, we have all seen this brother. We see his ideology, where he's going. He doesn't love God. He's not under authority. He doesn't listen. He's a god of his own. You see his temper. He's not even born again. And you sit down and say, mate, I was carried away. Age is not on my side. That's why I'm being sincere with you. And the friend says, I know. I understand that pressure. Let's pray together. That's a wise friend. Who will you call a wise friend in your life today? When you are about to die, the person says, fire on. And you crash. That's not a wise friend.
A wise friend is not a friend that you sit with and be gisting and gossiping about people. From the person is cooking, you are gossiping. You finish cooking, you leave the place there, you are still gossiping. It's evening, you say, let's water this whole thing down with one nice movie and just rest. So, Jare, this life self. That's not a wise friend. Because the friend is eating up your time, though sincere. Is God blessing us? He that walks with the wise, I will never walk with foolish people. I mean business about my destiny. There are so many pastors who have met me. Apostle, I want to be your friend. And I don't reply them. I don't have a problem with them. I really love them, but they are not wise friends. I have seen the way they do ministry. Are we together? I've seen the way they manipulate people when a ministry has needs. I've seen them do a lot of things. I've seen their attitude towards ladies. They don't care. Can come to the person's house and see a lady in the night lying down loosely and carelessly, warming indomie for him. No. I don't want that kind of life. I plan to go far. My success is intentional. Of course, I love them. We will interact, but they will never be my destiny friends. Never. Are we together? He that walks with the wise shall be wise. Give us the last scripture, please. Thank you, media. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. It says almost the same thing in essence. Please write it and look up. 1-2, read. Be not deceived. Evil communications. Do what? Corrupt. Please amplify it. Amplify it. Amplify it. Let's hurry up, please. We have a lot to do. Thank you. Are you ready to read? 1-2, read. Read everything. 1-2, read. Communion, associations, corrupt and depraved good manners and morals and what? Look at this. The New Testament interpretation of what we read in Proverbs. That means I can be a well-behaved person. I love God, but my association with somebody else can start altering my values. Let me tell you how you know that things are going wrong. The things you used to frown at, you now become silent over them. Progress. Are we together? On a very good day, you are somebody who over certain things, you would say, God is faithful, but Kai, this one. But now, the devil is softening you, the influence of friends. A friend comes and says, bros, me, I'm your friend, I'm your classmate, I drink. I'm not saying you should drink, but just allow me use, let me keep the gouda in your fridge. After lecture, I'll come and take. On a very good day, you tell the person, don't feel bad, I know that I sound like a fool, but I really am sorry, I have convictions, please allow me respect my convictions. I love you, I hope that you see the truth, but please. So, you drop the gouda. The next day, he will come with another friend. I say, sorry, bros, we have come again. Let's drop it sharp, sharp. Your standards are bending, but you don't know. You see how the devil deceives people? Or a lady will come into your room, come, stroll around. Now, ladies, please don't feel bad. I'm going to balance everything. Comes to your room and all of that carelessly and says, it looks like, okay, go be going for a lecture while I quickly cook for you. Now, I know that things happen, we're adults. But there are times that you know that which is done out of love and generosity, and that even the lady herself did not intend for it to get to where it's going to. But you have eyes, you have discernment. Prayer has activated your discernment. The Holy Spirit is saying, check, 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 check. Something, you just ignore it. Are we together now? And then one day you return back, your money is stolen, your phone is stolen, the lady writes a letter for you. Stupid boy, you think you can use me and dump me, and you all of a sudden find out that the lady you were thinking was a naive small girl can sell you. You have exposed yourself to nonsense. See, let me tell you, one of the most disturbing things I see about people is this lack of standards. If there's anything I want to use this scripture to teach you, is that you will never go far in life. It's better to have standards and break them. At least even when you are repenting, you know what you are repenting to. But you don't have standards. The Bible says a man, hear what the Bible says, that a man who cannot guard his spirit is like a city without walls. Anything comes in, anything goes out. And I'll tell you why. Many of us hate being controversial. You don't want people to talk against you.
Hallelujah. Has God blessed us? Before we continue, pray and say, Lord, I make up my mind to have standards. I'm realizing right now that I'm already allowing a lot of carelessness. I'm allowing things to just bend. Please pray, pray, pray. Lord, I receive fresh grace. Standards. Don't feel bad if you found yourself compromising standards. That's why God put this meeting. Lord, restore me. Let me have standards. I started with you as a man of discipline and standards, but I ask for grace. I ask for grace. Let the weaknesses of my flesh not prevail against me. I ask you for standards in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, I'm human, oh God, but give me standards. Standards. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, please listen. Very powerful revelation. I want to show you three kinds of people and three kinds of relationships you will find in your life. And this is according, I'm classifying them according to motives. Please listen. Learn this tonight and be wise. There are three kinds of people you will find in your life according to motives. Every man who is born of a woman and is alive today, you have these three people in your life. And if you do not learn how to interact with these people, you will both deceive yourself and you will have unnecessary heartbreaks and pains. Are you ready now? Number one, the first kind of people or relationships you will have classified based on motives is this. Number one, those who genuinely love you. Those who genuinely love you. In this kind of relationship or this kind of people, you are the object of their passion. You are the object of their attraction. Not what you have. Not where you are going. Not even your destiny. You as a person. Their commitment is unto you. Please listen. Their commitment is not unto you as a pastor. Their commitment is not up to you as a millionaire. Their commitment is not up to you as a man or a woman. Your person. You are the object of attraction. These represent the truest and surest form of people and relationships on earth today. Where you find someone who is committed to you as a person. Not your skill, not your gift. So you are the object of attraction. Look at me, and let me tell you a sincere truth. If you find 10 of these people in your lifetime, 10 in your lifetime, you are the luckiest man that has lived in our generation. I know you won't believe what I'm telling you now. Keep rising, and you will find out when you are 50 years. He will come back and say, Apostle, you remember something you said? I said, I remember it clearly. Because I said it out of conviction and experience. It is difficult to find a man, a woman, who will commit their lives to you, not your vision. You are the object of attraction, not your accomplishment. And my prayer for you is, may that person be your husband or wife. Because if it's not, if your husband or wife does not fall into that category, honestly, you have entered into a realm of pain that only the Spirit of God will comfort you. Job was the wealthiest man in the East. Listen. And for that, no wealthy man grows wealthy alone. He must have business associates and allies. Political figures and all of that. And the Bible says, when certain things happened to Job, the only person that stood with him was his wife.
Even her, she communicated her frustrations, you see, curse God and die. But at least she was a wife that stood by her husband. Three examples of this in the Bible. We may not have time to go there. Just write the scriptures. 1 Samuel chapter 18 verse 1 and 3 tells us the story of David. Let's look at that one. First Samuel 18, 1 to 3. The story of David and Jonathan. Right? David and Jonathan gives us a picture of these kinds of people in your life. 1 Corinthians. Okay, 1 Samuel. Listen. It says, and it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was what? Knit with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his soul. Just stop there. Do you know what it means for a man to love you as himself? He has entered it. When you read down what we have to say because of time, he entered a covenant. It was a covenant of friendship. You will hardly find these kinds of people in your life. Example number two. Ruth chapter 1 verse 16. Just give it to us, media. Ruth 1 verse 16. The story of Ruth and Naomi. An example of these kinds of people and these kinds of relationship. I'll read. And Ruth said, when Naomi asked and said, please leave. I can't give birth to children for you now to wait for them to grow so that you will marry them. And here's what Ruth said. Entreat me not to leave thee or return from following after thee. He says, for whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Here's what he says. Thy people shall be my people and thy God, my God. May God bring this kind of people to your life. Another example, we may not have the time, but I'll just give you, is Jesus Christ and John the Beloved. Jesus and John the Beloved. The Bible says he loved Jesus so much, when Jesus was teaching, he would come and lean on his chest. Like a baby would lean, or a sister or brother would lean on the chest of an elder one. That it was not eye service, it was genuine. When all the disciples deserted him, John was there, right there with the mother of Jesus. And he said, John, behold your mother. Mother, behold your son. And the Bible says, from that day, John began to take care of her. John loved him passionately. Brothers and sisters, these are the kinds of people you need in your life if you really want to fulfill destiny. These are the kinds of people who will be with you if they hear today that, God forbid, it will never happen. But Nas got a lady pregnant. They'll say, I know. And Nas, is it true? Nas say, yes. Say, no problem. Nas, I'm with you. If we are going before the reporters, they will snap me before they snap you. If you ever find those kinds of people in your life, praise God for them. Are we together? That you hear, rain just wash my house. And they say, where are you? Rain wash your house? What happened? They stole my car. Please come and carry my other car and use. He said, you just bought the car. He said, what is the car for? I love you more than the car. Come and take it and use it. There is one, I would divide my house into two. I would plead with my wife for us to move. And you will stay with us for 3 months before you get another place. Friends. Please pay attention to what I'm saying. It's very important. When you find these kinds of people in your life, no matter how foolish you will look, do all you can to keep that relationship with them. No matter how foolish, preserve that relationship. Oh, Benga, I know that I offended you the other time, but you mean more to me than this. I appreciate your input in my life. I know you will be with me, and I appreciate you. Not me, oh! I'm not a desperate person. Anybody that does anything, I can throw the person. You better stop all those childish talk. There are people in my life today, if it means me crawling and rolling on the ground to maintain my relationship with them, I will do it. is not too much of an ego because of what they represent in my life. Are we together? I know husbands who are in such a state of passion with their wives. If it takes, if they offend that woman, if it means them starving themselves of food to show how sorry they are, because they know how rubbish their lives were when that woman came. You are listening to me right now. God is giving you wisdom that there are people like this who will say, your God will be my God. Man of God, a great man of God in this nation years ago had a very serious scandal. I won't mention names for the sake of honor. It's something that was everywhere. But had a great scandal. And one other man of God who had been his friend, they had grown together. That man, you know, sometimes when you really love God and you find yourself in something that is very embarrassing, it can break you. It will take the grace of God for you to be restored. They had to come together as friends to just tell him, look, go down to a particular country and just go and rest and have some time with God. Did you know that that man of God was ministering both in his church? Because that man of God's church was at the verge of scattering. People, you know what happens when there are things like this. And this man of God came and put his reputation on the line to tell other people, look, I know that your pastor did this, but I know him. He's a man of great integrity. Forget what happened. I stake my reputation to endorse him. That's a friend. That's a true friend. Are we together now? These are friends that you don't have to act otherwise. Because being with them is like being alone. You don't have to change. These are the kinds of friends that if you are caught up watching pornography, they can enter the room and you can put it and say, this is what I am doing. And they look and say, look, God will help you. I love you. I love you more than this. I know that it's the devil who is trying to destroy you. And together you will cry before God. And they will pray for you. My neighbor has one woman. I'm sure she's here listening to me and laughing. There is a woman that I spoke to her about. That woman is about the most faithful friend I've seen in recent time among ladies. I told my neighbor again and again, and I'm still telling her, she's here somewhere listening. I said, keep this friend, because this is a true friend. There was a day that the woman came to her house, came to her place, and my neighbor was not around. I'm not sure the woman knew I was around. When she, I don't know if the room was open, I can't remember the story. When she entered in, my neighbor was not around, but I was hearing her. She knelt down and began to weep. She prayed there for more than 20 minutes. Oh God, bless my friend. She was crying. She never knew that I was hearing. I started crying too for my brother. I said, what is this? This woman can be so true. The friend was not there, but she was praying genuinely. Do you have somebody in your life who can take a day's fast, not for relationship, but to pray and say, Lord, bless Sam. I love him so much. She would never come and see my neighbor washing and just get a chair. Immediately she comes, I believe she may be older than my neighbor, but she will come and push it aside and insist. Friend, is God challenging us? My prayer is not that you only wait for friends like that you make yourself such a friend. Are we together now? Because some of us are far from this. Our idea about friendship is so bad. You are far from this. This is my goal, to become a true friend, that I love people above and beyond their being necessary in my life. There are people today who do not add anything in my life, frankly speaking. But most times I spend time following up on their lives. I can travel from one place to another just to be able to see them. How are you? How is your family? They may not even appreciate it, but I want to be that kind of friend. Tonight, you can make up your mind that I must be this kind of friend. I must. At least not to everybody, but to somebody. And the place to start
maybe in your home or your relationship. Number two, the second kinds of people and kinds of relationships that you will see in your life. Please pay attention. God is taking us somewhere. Those who love what you represent, those who love what you have, those who love where you are going, those who love what you represent, comma, what you have and where you are going, their commitment is not to you. Their commitment is to your gift. Their commitment is to your vision. Their commitment is to your destiny, not your person.
For the way of the Lord is the way of wisdom. I choose the way of the Lord.
So these friends, listen. Now, the dangerous thing about these friends is they act exactly like the first category. The only difference is motive. Everything this first category of people who genuinely love you do, they also do. But they do it because of a vision. They do it because of a gift. Now, they are not dangerous people. They are just a class of friends. Are we together? Because you are like that to somebody too. I am like that to somebody too. I'm just showing you classifications of friends based on motives. So you come for Koinonia and you find a very visionary and impactful ministry and you plunge into the vision. You are this category. So for as long as Koinonia remains visionary, for as long as we remain purpose driven, you are connected. So the person is not your business, it's the vision. Are we together now? Listen, let me tell you where these kinds of people are dangerous. They are dangerous because they love you and they are sincere, but they hope that your diligence and your vision will also help them achieve their own. Are you seeing the basis of their partnership and their participation? They will dump you anytime they find a faster alternative. They are so driven by the vision, they don't care if you die in the process, so long as the vision continues.